you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, May 18th, 2026. We're continuing our study through the book of Mark, looking at chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, sharing and dividing God's word for us is Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church.
So in this part of the passage in the life of Jesus, what's just happened is Jesus was standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He was teaching from a boat, hundreds if not thousands of people surrounding him. At the end of this moment, he's teaching, he's healing, he's doing all the things that Jesus does. There's tons of people that want a piece of him. They want something from Jesus, and Jesus is there, and he can meet lots of needs. Jesus then, last week we talked about it, says to his fellows, says to the ladies, hey, we're going to the other side. Now, when he said the other side, I don't know if they quite understood. He was going to the other side like not the nation of Israel. He was going to the other side like the place of Gentiles. He was going to the other side like the Decapolis. But when he went there, the disciples went with him. They're on this boat, and last week we talked about the storm, right? We talked about that in life, some of the storms we have are caused by our own stupidity, and some of the storms we have in life are caused just because there's storms in life, and it's hard. And the truth is there's an enemy out there that wants to deceive you, kill you, destroy you. And so these storms that come up, it's interesting. We didn't talk about this last week on purpose, is these storms, like, isn't it interesting that when Jesus rebuked the storm, he like basically said, Satan, not today. And then the storm was calmed. And we don't always think about it in that way, but what happened was is the last thing in the world that Satan, or the last thing in the world that the enemy, or the last, like whatever it is, the last thing Satan wanted is for the message of Jesus to get to the other side. The last thing the enemy wants is for people that are controlled by the enemy to discover they were created for more. There wasn't always a storm on the wall. Like, Satan didn't always throw up storms, y'all. Why did he choose this moment, and why did they go to the other side? Jesus was bringing his disciples, these guys that were eventually going to be the leaders of this movement of the church. And it wasn't just that Jesus was about to heal someone. It was about Jesus was placing in the heart of a Jewish man who had no heart at this point for someone who was a Gentile, someone from the Decapolis. Literally, they were fearful of touching their feet on the dirt on the other side. And the last thing that Satan wants now is for these men to recognize God cares about those people. He has said it lots already, right? Jesus came for all the people. But when Jesus gets to the other side and he's about to heal this demoniac, they get to experience the mercy, the grace, and the truth of God loving someone that they didn't want to love. I just don't want you to miss that. And so they're in this boat, he has calmed the sea, he's going to the other side. As he's going to the other side, the waters are calm, and he's like, hey, we're going this way. And I promise you the conversation went like this. Peter's like, hey, are you sure you want to go over? I think a little bit that way is better. And Jesus is like, no, we're going over here. We're going to the Gerasene. We're going to the Decapolis. And they're like, Jesus, if we put our feet there, then we have to go back to the temple and clean ourselves off. Like, Jesus, we can't even step on the ground there or we're unclean. That was their belief. And Jesus, all throughout the book of Mark, remember, Jesus is tearing down the walls of religion to build up a relationship with himself. And he's like, no, that's where we're going. Like, Jesus, you don't understand. Like, Jesus, I don't know. Like, we're on the water all the time. There's crazy people over there, Jesus. Like, there's people over there that want to hurt us. There's people over there that want to kill us. I've heard a story of a random naked dude running around who cuts himself in chains and screaming. Like, we've heard him scream from the shore. Like, Jesus, I think that area is haunted. And Jesus is like, no, this is where we're going. They're like, Jesus, I don't think you understand. There's like thousands of people, like it would be like this. There's thousands of people over there that want to hear from you. And there's a couple people over here that want to kill you. Let's go back over here. And Jesus says, no, we rolling up on that shore. And so he gets to that shore and it says they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes or the Decapolis, which is basically 10 different cities. It's an unclean place. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And Luke tells us it was like a crazy naked dude that came screaming and running at him. So just imagine, guys, this is funny. You need to like picture this moment. A group of dudes in a boat, telling Jesus, there's crazy people over there. And the whole time Jesus is like, hey, this is where we're going. This is where we're going. This is where we're going. And their whole lives, Jesus has always been right. And then Jesus puts his feet on the shore. And as soon as he puts his feet on the shore, the crazy naked dude comes running at them screaming, "Ma!" And I promise you, the disciples are like, get back in the boat. Like, this is the other side. Jesus, this is why we avoid this place. These are the people that launch missiles into our country. These are the people that hate us. These are the people that make fun of us on social media. These are the people we're afraid to walk down their street. These are the people that want to destroy us. These are the people that want to manipulate us, hurt us, take our resources, whatever it is. These are the people that you think no matter what, they hate you and you don't know how you're supposed to love them. That's the other side. And I can just imagine, like, I'd be the same way. I'd be like, Jesus, like, that dude ain't hugging me. It says this about the man. He lived among the tombs. This is a description of this man who's possessed by demons. He lived among the tombs. What that meant is he lived in the place of death. And no one could bind him anymore. So what did they try to do with him before? They'd try to control him. They'd try to bind him. Not even with chains, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart. He had uncommon what? Strength. So this dude wasn't only scary and naked, he was scary, naked, and really strong. Like, those three things don't go together for most dudes. Like, hey, let's hang out. But he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out, cutting himself with stones, like self-mutilation. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me?" Basically, this is what he says. The brother comes running and screaming. All the disciples are in the boat. They're like, the storm was scary. This is crazy. And then this brother comes running at him. He falls on his face. And this is what he basically says, "Oh, Jesus, what do you want to do with me?" Not, "Hey, let's fight." No, he just falls down. He's like, why me? This man that a nation couldn't subdue. A city couldn't calm down. No medical doctors could figure it out. No drugs, no prescriptions, no chains, no cells could hold him. Let's just be honest. He falls at the feet of Jesus. What do you want to do with me? Like, Jesus, why me? Then he says this, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I beg you, by God, do not torment me." The demoniac knew who he was. Does that make sense? He knew he was the creator. He knew he was the boss. How many people do you think this demoniac had hurt? How hard do you think his family fought to, like, calm him down? How about his mom? Do you know the demoniac had a mom? What would she have done to try to help him? What was the process she had to walk through to know that her son was in the tombs and she couldn't go to visit him because of fear he would hurt her? See, sometimes when we look at something that's been overwhelmed by evil, we look at a piece of God's creation that is being used for evil and we think that that person is the enemy, but the naked dude screaming that can rip chains apart is not the enemy. He's the one that needs to be set free. There's seven things I've chosen to share today in Scripture about demons. We're not going to study demons today. The purpose of this passage is not to study demons. But sometimes I think it's good to just say, hey, here's seven things I know from Scripture. There are more than seven things. Are you with me? But I'm going to go through these things really quick because sometimes I think it's like, well, what is this? We don't talk about this a lot. Here are seven things that we know to be true that's found in God's Word. Not church traditions, not philosophies of man. These are seven things that we know. The first one is this. Let's put it up on the screen. It says, Jesus has all authority over unclean spirits. Jesus is the boss, okay? Don't miss this. Jesus is the boss. Jesus delegates authority to his followers who speak his name. When you are in Christ and you are a new creation, guess what? God dwells in you and you have authority over things in this world that aren't of him, okay? Next one is this. Demons are under Satan's authority. It's like he's the leader of this movement that tries to destroy humanity. And then the next thing is demons harm humans. They desire to destroy creation. Don't miss this. These demons wanted to do what to this dude? Destroy him. They wanted to destroy him, and they made him destroy other things. The purpose of the demons is to destroy God's creation and try to give you no hope, to deceive and to destroy. Okay, the next one is this. Worship sacrifices towards idols is given to demons. So things in this world that we worship, I'm going to say it that way. Things that we worship in this world, that we give our time, our energy, our attention to, that are not God, is like pouring gas on the demonic world. Interesting. Next one. Demons are a source of deceptive teachings that lead people astray. Lots of times throughout history, the church has been used by the demonic world to teach you things that isn't true. It's just true. Like anytime you're led to deception that takes you away from the promises of God's truth, guess what? That's teachings from the devil. Number seven, we need to be healed of demonic afflictions. Okay. God can heal you. He can heal me. Okay. We're done with the seven. Take them off. Today's not a lesson on demons. It's a lesson on Jesus. But I do want you to know, if you have more questions about demons and those such, you can jump online. The Daily Read and Pray is an attachment that Tyler Stewart does a lesson every single week. And it's crazy, but Tyler's like PhD is in that world. Like he understands it as well as anyone in the world. And so if you have questions, email Tyler Stewart, right? He would love to talk to you. The passage then goes on, but I need to say this one more time. How many people this person had destroyed everything around him? He was someone on the boat you drove past. He was someone when you heard him, you went the other way. But Jesus did what? He engaged it. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, hey, what's your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. Legion was a name for like a Roman legionnaire, usually about 5,000 to 6,000 soldiers in a legion. This doesn't mean there were 6,000 demons in the guy, but I think there was more than two. You with me? It says, and he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. So a couple different times in this passage, it says the words begged. It says the words pleaded. And this is what begged and pleaded, really, if you direct translation. He prayed to God. I need to make this point really clear. So the demonic world was praying to God, right? Because when you ask God something, what is that? Lord, I need help with this. They're praying to God. So here's the question for you in this room. Do you pray to God from an act of desire to something to be healed, or do you pray to God as of an act of surrender? The demons were not surrendering themselves to God. They were asking God. Did you catch the difference? In my life, there's been lots of times I request things from the Father, but the Father desires prayer to be an act of surrender. What prayer is me recognizing I can't, me recognizing he can, and me saying, your will is my will, let's roll. That's prayer. Then it goes on and says this, now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him saying, hey, send us into the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission. So like Jesus is like, okay, fine, you can go into the pigs. He didn't send them to the abyss. Basically, he didn't send them to a place of constant torment. He didn't send them basically out of this world. So he allows them to go into the pigs. So he gave them permission. The unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd numbering about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank and into the sea and drowned in the sea. So why would Jesus allow the demons to go into the pigs? This is why I believe why. Because Jesus wanted the world to know that the purpose of the things they were worshiping, the purpose of this demonic realm, wasn't that it gave power to things, is it wanted to kill and destroy you. So why didn't the demoniac, like why couldn't Satan just kill him? Because he was made in the image of God. But he could manipulate and take over and use this image bearer of God to destroy things around him like crazy. But as soon as Satan had the ability to be into an animal that wasn't made in the image of God, what did those animals do? The purpose of the enemy in this world is to steal, to kill, and destroy, to deceive us. Satan wants to destroy creation. I guess I have a question for us. Isn't that kind of what my sin does? I need you to like be reflective for a second, all right? Like in my own life, we sang a song today, my chains are gone, I've been set free, right? And so our chains are gone, right? So these chains are gone, we've been set free. But the reality is, what do we do most of our lives with the chains we're set free is we kind of mess with the chains, right? Let's just be honest. You can nod your heads. Is you're set free from something, set free from an addiction, set free from a hurt, set free from pride, set free from envy, set free from selfishness. But what do? Because we're human, we pick up the chains. And the reality is in my life, I'm just proving this point, is the purpose of Satan is to destroy God's creation. My sin destroys God's creation. My sin within a relationship with my wife destroys her heart, destroys her mind, like it hurts her. My pride as a father when my kids don't show me the respect that I think I deserve and I lash back at them, I'm not pointing them to life, I'm pointing them to death. Like, it's easy to, well, murder takes life. That's easy. Greed, envy, like, there's lots of things, but I'm just being honest, like, in the room. My sin too, me too, when I am living in my selfishness, when I am living in my pride, when I am living in my greed, like, when I pick up those chains that God has rescued me from, the people around me don't get life. They get what? Death. My relationships, the people around me, creation itself. And even us. But you know what the cool thing is? Just like the demoniac could be healed, so can we. He came to the other side. Aren't you glad he came? Guys, if he didn't come to the other side, we wouldn't be sitting in the room. But God, that's the phrase, right? But God did this. And so that's what God did. God came to the other side, and it says these words, the herdsmen fled and told the city and the country, and the people came to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had a legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So after this dude is healed and these demons are gone, the brother like looks at him and is like, bro. And Jesus is like, take my coat, bro. Like, put some clothes on. And then all of a sudden, this person, I don't know for how long, who'd been screaming, cutting himself out of control, beating people, hurting people, he was literally speaking death and living death in his life, is sitting there just chilling with Jesus. And how do people react to that? Well, it tells us they were afraid. The change of that man showed those people what? The power of God. Has the change in your life showed the people around you the power of God? Because sometimes what happens as Christians is the change in our life, we know what changes happen. But for us to talk about the change that happened, sometimes we think we're the ones that made the change, so we don't want to boast. We're talking about a real conversation here now. Well, I don't want to talk about what God's doing in my life now. He's doing lots of good things in my life now. And the reason we don't talk about it is because we think it's about who. When the reality is, sister, you ain't done nothing ever good. Me either. But for me to talk about who I was and who I am makes the world see how good God is. It is false humility not to boast in what God is doing. Me too. I remember the story of a young man who was living in horrible addictions. Literally, I remember the moment he told us the story, sitting at a table at a restaurant, and he was sitting at the table at the restaurant, and he was telling the story about the time he held up a Casey's General store with a crack pipe, and they gave him all the money, and he took the money out of it. He was high as he could be. He takes the money out of it. He runs outside. The cops had surrounded him, and he told him he had a bomb. He had no bomb, no gun. He just had a crack pipe. And he's telling this story, and as he's telling this story, one of the police officers who was there who arrested him was sitting at the table, and they both cry, hug each other, because now both dudes in that moment have both found Jesus, and now they're brothers. See, the story of this young man who used to live on the streets, the story of this young man who was living in addiction, who everywhere he turned, he would do anything to get the next high. He was in the process of getting clean. He was a halfway house, and as he was a halfway house in the middle of the night, he woke up in the middle of the night, the room was dark, and this is what he told me. He said, Jason, I wasn't high, and it was like my hands were on fire, and all of a sudden I had these different like things in my head that kept popping in my head, and what they were scripture. He says, I didn't know they were scripture, and so I just started writing stuff down. And as I wrote all these scriptures down, it was this message from God saying, I love you, I can forgive you, let's do this. Jason summary. The next morning, he calls us at like early. I don't know how early, you can ask Daniel, like 5:30 in the morning early. He calls us like, hey, I'm getting baptized today. Oh, you are? He's like, yep, God told me, woke me up last night, haven't slept, God's saving. Like, I mean, he just, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, sounds good. Well, it's snowing outside. We'll come pick you up. No, I'm already at the Church Street property. I rode my bike. You rode your bike in 6 feet? No, yes, sir. I'm waiting outside. Okay, we're on our way. Gives his life to Christ. Chains fall off. No one can believe it. He's helping lead a worship song or two. And the world around is like, what lesson were you teaching? What sermon series? What book did you give him? We asked Jesus to help him. He wanted help. Jesus healed him. Now, guess what? My friend has had hard moments since then. A year and a half later, I picked him up in the street, back in his addiction, got him back, brought him back to the church. We spent a whole day loving him, encouraging him. Now he lives in a different town, away from all the temptations that are here. Loving Jesus, leads worship on the weekends. Family, why am I telling these stories? That's like a story that seems extreme to you, but every single one of your stories are extreme. Because who we can be in our flesh, the selfishness, the pride that resides in me, maybe it's just me and this dude. Maybe we're the only two. But I know myself well enough to know the selfishness and the pride that's in me. If I just did what I wanted to do, I would burn stuff down. Now, I wouldn't think I'm going to burn it down because I think my way's best. But the things around me would come tumbling down. The concepts today, how does Satan deceive the world today? Well, man, if it feels good, do it. God wouldn't give you that desire if you weren't supposed to live it out. If no one recognizes you, then you need to recognize yourself. Sounds a lot like Babylon to me. The passage goes on and says this. And those who had been seen it described to them what happened to the demon-possessed man, had the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Why did they want Jesus to leave? The same reason lots of us in this room, sometimes the closer you get to, there's like this moment where like, man, I love Jesus. This is cool. I love like coming to church. I feel freedom. It's going good. But then all of a sudden the Spirit of God asks you or convicts you to do something you're not ready to let go of. Don't nod your heads right now. And you have a choice in that moment. Do I really desire a relationship with Jesus? Do I really want to surrender? Or do I want to push him away and I want to keep my distance? And the crazy thing is Satan deceives most of us into thinking that our way is better than his way, when the reality is his way is the way that sets you free. He's the way that heals your family, heals your relationships, heals your life. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. I underline that in my Bible because it's the first time in all the miracles of Jesus he says, go tell people. Everyone else, what's he say? Shh. Not yet. But this dude who's on the other side, he's like, I want you to go tell everybody what has happened and how he's had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled at this. There's a story. If this is your first time, I apologize. Jesus is risen from the dead. Okay. He rises from the dead. As he rises from the dead, Mary's one of the first people that gets to see him. Mary runs to him, grabs a hold of his feet. You remember this part of the story? If you don't, here it comes. She grabs a hold of him. She's sobbing. She's so excited. Why? Because Jesus was the only one that saw her. Mary was also possessed by demons. Mary also lived really hard. And she knew the only one in the world that ever loved her was Jesus. And she's like, I'm not going to let you go. And Jesus is like, hey, girl, just take a deep breath. I need you to go tell somebody what has happened. I'm going to be with you. The demoniac. Where would we want to go? Everyone else gave up on you, right? But Jesus didn't quit. How many of you in this room have been in a place in your life when everyone else quit on you and you knew like there was something inside of you that knew it wasn't over yet? How is the Spirit? And he wants to get in the boat and Jesus looks at him and says, hey, bro, you got to go tell somebody. You go tell everyone. And now, what would be the question we would say? Well, Jesus, I don't even really, like, I know your first name. I know you're the Son of God, but I don't even know about your teachings. I don't know about the Bible. I don't know anything. And Jesus looks at him and says, just go tell somebody what's happened. You fast forward a couple months later, Jesus shows up back on the other side. It's also in the book of Mark. We'll talk about it in about 6 months from now. And you know what happens? Jesus shows up. You know how many people are gathered? Over 4,000 people come to hear the teachings of Jesus and he feeds them. Why? Because someone was excited about what God had done in their life. How often do we stop because we're afraid we're going to be asked a question we don't know the answer to? What's the only part of the story that you need to know? I was here. Now my chains are gone. I've been set free. And this is where I'm at today. Hey, family, Jesus came for all the people.
Jesus came for you, listening friend, and you have a story to tell. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church as we looked at Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.